It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Welcome to Cult episode 120. I'm Modrigan and I will be your GM for tonight as we play through Call of Cthulhu, Horror on the Orient Express, and I'm not telling you the chapter. The players don't know what chapter they're going to be playing yet, because, well, Oliver Oldstaff ran off mad, so they might have to go and get him first. We're currently sat here baking in the week and a half long English summer. So it's entirely possible that there is some buzz on this recording. I will have done my best to get rid of it for you, and if I have managed, you should all probably send me congratulations, because looking at these waveforms, it's fucking horrific. If I haven't, then I'm afraid I've done my very, very best, but we really need new equipment to allow me to deal with such things. But anyway, I'm Mordrigan, I'm the GM.
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Clarissa Click.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Tiny Tim Boxley.
I'm Bloodied, and I'm playing Algernon Wolfstash.
I'm Porky
Pino,
and I'm playing Oliver Oldstaff.
So, we have tea to review today.
Oh god, do we have
Hardwick,
tea?
You are the purveyor? Perpetrator? of this tea?
Yes.
This is a random tea.
Mm-hmm.
Random.
I'm gonna go with, like...
It's very fucking random.
Off the top of my head, I'm gonna go for, like, Golden Union or something like that.
Golden Union, that's the one I was thinking of.
Basically...
It's in Chinese.
It came in a tin, which is all in Chinese, and it was kind of potluck.
Not bad fucking luck.
Yeah, it's, it looks like, grass cuttings when you pour it out of the bag and put it into the, into the teapot. it doesn't taste like grass cuttings.
No.
It's quite powerful, really.
Tastes like fucking ashes. In fact, what I actually think happened is someone just sold you their dead uncle in a fucking tin. That's what I think happened.
It does have the taste of a bit of a lapsang souchong. Not as burnery as that.
When you told us where you got this from, I'm just wondering, did this person really hate your boss?
I don't think so.
I'm done.
That's the best. I've got a hairball noises I've heard in a long time.
So what we're saying is, this is a tea that will give you hairballs.
Yeah, thank you. I've been studying my fiancé's cat.
Fair enough.
Now, I drink strong teas anyway. And when I make Assam, I get it to this sort of consistency. But yeah, this is a bit... It's quite... Very...
There's a lot of nodding going on here.
It's quite intensely... I'm not going to say nice.
Shit.
It's not... I don't think it's even shit. It's just really bitter.
I'm thinking it might be better if there was milk in it, possibly.
It's green tea, though.
That's not...
Is it not?
No.
Oh. Does it look like a green tea when I was pouring it?
If you pour it out, it's like really yellow and kind of golden.
I do have milk.
which is why I went for the,
I think, for the sake of fairness, we probably have to try it with milk if you have milk.
Shall we try an experiment?
Go on, now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the listeners, I'm going to pause you for a moment. Do not worry, I'm not actually putting you in stasis, I'm just going to get the milk. Welcome back, listeners. Now I've plied them all with milk, and they're about to take a taste.
Oh boy.
Oh dear.
Well, that's less horrific. It's actually almost drinkable now.
Archive disagrees. Strongly.
No, I feel like that made it worse. I can't drink that, I really can't.
How bizarre.
It just tastes wrong.
You're the only person who looks grey, though, aren't you?
No, I can't stand that.
Oh, yeah, you're the one who can't stand that. Okay. Captain Picard hates you.
So, what do we think of Chinese mystery tea? Is the answer, it's fucking horrible and why would you do that to yourself?
Yes!
It's Chinese Mr. Tea. I pity the fool to drink this tea.
So there we go. If you find a random tin covered in Chinese that seems to have something that may be tea in it, don't brew it up and drink it, because it probably tastes like shit.
Cool, don't have to deal with it.
But anyway, what was I going to say? I can't fucking remember. I was about to ask you all to recap.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. You've all rolled the book already. Yes. Recap what happened in the last event.
Giant fish in canal with limbs. No, wait, that was the other time.
Yeah, that was
I
before.
I wasn't there then.
So, okay. Please be louder.
I can't be loud and read my notes at the same time because the microphone's over here and my notes are
over
here.
Why don't we freebase off your notes? So,
I don't think that word.
I rolled for you, yeah. Yeah, I know, sorry, I freebase, yeah. I meant freestyle.
We can totally freebase her notes, but one, there won't be any notes after we've done it, and two, I don't think you're going to get high off that. Freestyle, perhaps?
Yeah, I think I meant freestyle earlier. Unfortunately, no, I rolled for luck for you. I'm afraid you actually succeeded in your luck roll.
Oh. But you got me on 57.
Well, I've got you on 50, but yeah, you failed on 50, so you failed on 50. You passed on 50, so you passed on 57.
Okay, I've got myself on 57 at the moment.
And I got you on 56, but yeah, you passed, so sorry, no luck for you.
It's your sanity that's of more interest to us, but first...
My sanity's not doing so good.
No. Well, what happened last time, people?
Well, Biche met us in the lobby of the hotel. I think I got her name right, and everything.
Biche, yeah.
Biche, woo! With a note from, oh, I can't remember her name now.
Train Girl.
She had a name.
Stagliani.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of her, but Maria. Maria Stagliani. Saying that the evil Rossini, that pig man,
who is made of pork,
was holding her prisoner in her own home and was forcing her to marry him.
Because he's a fascisti pig!
And he can't get none because he's ugly.
He can't get none because he's fascist, but go on.
Yeah, well, no, he's ugly both inside and out.
Like Nigel Farage.
Yes, and Boris Johnson. And, you know, insert Brexit person here.
That man's really fucking creepy looking.
And begin.
So, we went to track down Giorgio, the excitable communist, and Maria's won through love to effect a rescue. After tracking him down at, we went to a nice left-wing student-y bar where there was an arsehole fascist outside being arsehole fascist and being all smug and fascist and shit.
Fascists do tend to be smug, but let's avoid going into another thing that I'm going to have to cut.
Yeah, we were directed to where we could find Giorgio, at which point a bar fight broke out when the fascists ran in with truncheons because they're dicks and they can't fight properly. Without big sticks and shit. So we tracked down Giorgio, who turned out had been beaten up by some fascists.
The fascisti pigs have beaten me to within an inch of my life.
Quite a very big inch, as it turned out, because he then proceeded to give an exciting speech to rally the communist causes to beat up Rossini and rescue Maria.
Which worked.
Yeah, we got ourselves a motherfucking bike mob. Awesome.
Fight mob is definitely how I title it. I wouldn't call it Ninja Force. I wouldn't call it SAS Attack Squad. I wouldn't even call it group of guys who look a bit tough. They were definitely fight mob.
Yeah. So we all gondolered over to Maria's place.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily no one was watching the back pier thing.
Well, they were watching the back door.
Mm.
You get the impression that they didn't really want to be standing out on the fetid, oily mess where people had been murdered by death.
Yeah.
Don't get to use that word.
That damn death gondoling around at high speed.
Murdered by death.
So we sent Tiny Box Tim in first to scout out the terrain.
Who didn't go in so much as on, over, and above.
Yes, clumping around like, yeah, spider monkey.
Not terribly effective ones, I remember. Well, are they climbing?
Found out how people were.
Well effective at the climbing.
Give us an idea where Maria was and how many fascists there were.
Yeah.
So,
I was totally excellent at the scouting bit. It was just the other bit that went a bit fascist, didn't it?
We played...
Well, the bit where you couldn't find a way out of the attic. Yes, that was quite...
That fit.
Yeah, that was a bit unfortunate for you. So we decided to have the mighty fight mob knock on the front door and start a fight there, while Giorgio and the rest of us went in through the back. And this plan actually kind of worked.
Kind of worked, yes.
At least the point where the back door opened as we were approaching it. At which point, Giorgio tried to punch the fascist coming out. Didn't do so well. And it was Izzy proceeded to punch the guy so fucking hard, he went down like a sack of shit and smashed his head open on the concrete kitchen counter, I believe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, at which point, Wolstad had to first aid him to make sure he didn't bleed to death.
Yeah.
Which he managed, thank God.
Then she went upstairs and did it again.
Yeah, then she kicked another guy's ass so thoroughly he pretty much broke his neck.
Now, we've already got one member of the party who's incredibly strong, but weak in other ways. You need to come up with a name, Frizzy. The fist that never ends.
God. We won't stop fisting me.
Anyway. Well, that's saying it.
Yeah.
Well, technically that can also get us arrested in the UK.
Well, that's why the fisting never ends. It never leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and only if you do it to Norman Lamont.
Yes, Norman Lamont. This is a...
Don't explain, they can Google it.
Julian Cleary, Norman Lamont,
just Google fisting Norman Lamont, I'm sure that'll work out fine for you. Especially if safe search is off. Anyway.
I suspect there's a flash game of that name.
Oh, then I'll speak.
And if there isn't, there should be. But shall we continue?
Yes, so we rescued Maria, but there was no sign of Rossini. At which point he turned up with a priest in tow and a gun. It was a crappy little gun, though.
It was a shit gun.
So Georgie was all, you can't shoot me, for my love makes me bulletproof and blah, 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 which we decided not to test. So Morstach just pointed a shotgun at Rossini.
I think Oldstaff did as well, didn't you?
Oldstaff also pointed a revolver.
So basically all of the guns came.
Mm. Oh, yeah. At which point Rossini ran away, going oink, oink, oink.
Yes, he did. And then what did you all do?
Well, after Maria and Giorgio got married then and there by the priest and then went off with the communists to avoid reprisals, we decided that we should probably not hang around Venice too much longer, so we went off to get the Sudetka simulacrum leg from where we figured it was.
Did I give you that leg?
Yes.
Excellent, okay.
Yes, because I think Tim's...
My leg now.
But anyway...
Yes, so we, after depositing our weapons for not getting arrestedness.
As you do.
Totally using the awesome cover off, I'm going to a brothel and I don't want to scare the ladies.
Yes.
Yeah,
Archive is stroking the leg of the Sudetka simulacrum.
Oh, dim thighs.
It's quite worrying.
Dim thighs.
She's got this look of, like, joy and happiness.
That's one drumstick you want to bite into. Anyway. Sorry, I don't think so. <happened. laughs>
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a really good session. This is going to be a great session. It's going to be the best. You can be sure it's going to be an excellent session. Just like I always build the best sessions. Damn it. Am I channeling? Oh god damn, I've been infected by Thunderbolt's gift to us. Actually, I think Nick still has that. It's very, very worrying.
Huge.
Huge, but not in the house. That sounds really wrong. We're referring to Donald Trump. Now please continue. Oh, fuck, I've broken them all.
Someone else.
They can't hear you. Because of the giggling.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, so we went to the... I've forgotten the name of the place now.
Palazzo Reggiani.
Yes, the Palazzo Reggiani, and totally lockpicked our way in.
Ignoring the mass mob in the main square of the town.
Oh, yes.
I think, actually, you didn't so much as picklock your way in as you picklock your way through the front gate and then basically used Clarissa as a battering ram.
Yes.
She just walked up to doors and went...
Yes, we sent Crippled Hulk through to...
No, it was Old Star who actually...
Actually, Old Star's strength is 90.
I'm very strong.
Old Star is even... Wow. Yeah.
Okay then.
Very
heavy wife.
Yeah.
You managed to carry her through the door on the way tonight.
Just no. No. Possibly the image of Julian Carey and Norman Lamont's house. Right. Are we ready?
Yes, we're totally ready and totally serious. So yes, we got to where the clockworks were.
Yep.
And said about trying to ascertain which of them was
as they were all covered in gold leaf. Mm-hmm. It was difficult to tell which had the projectile leg.
So we had to work out we were in places of which ones actually had separate legs, and which one's legs didn't actually move at the knee. We eventually worked out that it was the...
Was it the soldier?
Was it the soldier? I think it was the soldier.
It was the soldier.
It was the soldier. The soldier was the possessor. Unfortunately, we've taken long enough to figure that out that as we just removed it,
The bell started
for the hour, so everything kicked into gear. And then... Wow. And
something occurred at this point.
The doors opened and we saw something standing there that then fell off the tower.
Oh fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It was Jesus! It was definitely Jesus!
Yeah, Clarissa was pretty sure it was Jesus.
Oh, I didn't
Clarissa
see it.
Clarissa was certain it was Jesus. Yeah. Tiny Box Tim just went, fuck, someone's just fallen off.
No, Tiny Box Tim didn't see it.
Huh?
That's why I don't have it written down. You didn't see nothing.
But you have forgotten that it happened.
I've totally forgotten out of character as well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, and then basically the fucking clockworks were totally trying to kill us. It wasn't just that they were actually doing their sign patterns. No, they were definitely trying to kill Mortstash and Old Staff, who unfortunately got kind of carried out onto the actual outer section of the tower.
Tried to help.
Yes, Tim tried to help by trying to stop the gears with his crowbar.
Which sort of helped, except Tim doesn't have enough mechanical repair for this to work.
So, what ended up happening was everything went haywire, and then kind of exploded.
It's...
Somewhere during that, Old Staff went, "Ah! They're trying to kill us!" and legged it.
Yes, Old Staff ran the fuck away. Don't blame him.
No, but you also don't know where the fucker is.
That is also a problem. But we got the leg, and then we ran away before anyone realised we'd blown up a, you know,
a clock tower. Monument. If I remember correctly, all of you then returned to the hotel?
Yes, yes, we did.
Yeah.
With the exception of you, old staff.
Yes.
You do not return to the hotel. Oh, no. No, you do not. Where did I put the rule books? You do not return to the hotel. All you remember is that you must flee, you must get away from the evil animated statues. Incidentally, under phobias on your sheet, now I would give you a phobia of statues, but given the Sedefkar simulacrum, that would be a bit cruel. However, I am going to give you...
I run a time that's called antiques show.
That would be bad as well. I will instead give you a fear of heights.
Heights.
Acrophobia.
That's the one. Could I also have the character sheet? Because I need to change your background. Oh, you haven't filled in your backstory. Never mind. I'm making a change to the only bit of backstory that you've got. You know Errol?
Yeah.
You're beginning to wonder whether he might be a cultist.
He's definitely a cultist.
there we are then. You really should fill in your background though. So anyway, old stuff. Get back in the box. Excuse me, it was very difficult to put you back in your bag.
He keeps us in bags between podcasts. Save us! Save us, please!
That's getting cut. No. I'm in charge of editing.
No.
You wake up, old stuff. You're very cold, and most of your limbs ache, and you're lying face down on some not very nice, greasy cobbles.
Can I pick myself up?
You wake up in face down on greasy cobbles. It's cold, you ache all over, your clothes are a bit ripped, you can see as you sort of come to consciousness. You're huddled into a corner, with your hands above your head, and you wake up, and it feels like you've been there a while, because you're freezing cold, and there's frost on your clothes.
Oh dear.
Can
I remember what happened, like?
The last thing you remember is the statue's coming to kill you.
Uh-huh. Have I got any idea what time it is?
You sort of reach into your coat and look for your watch. I believe you all went off to the clock tower about 10-ish? Or about mid... No, it was 11-ish, wasn't it? Because you ended up being there at midnight. By now, it's probably about 6 in the morning.
Oh, crikey.
You've lost, like, 6 hours.
What time is the train?
Don't know. Make me education team. Who's got the sign down on?
You failed that.
You have no idea.
Fail that.
I rolled 98.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not sure there is a train today.
I'm clearly very shaken by the events of the night.
Yeah. It's a bit damp.
Out of the way is the tower from the hotel.
Are you looking around? Because you don't actually know where you are at the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
Stand up and use the corner to get up. and you stretch a little bit, and all of your shoulders pop, and your arms click, and you turn around, and, well, there's a little bit of an issue. For a start, lying on the ground in front of you are the remains of two men in black shirts. I say remains because they have been torn limb from limb. There is blood everywhere. There's signs that they had weapons. One of them's got a gun which has been bent and broken nearby. Another has a knife which is actually stuck in the wall next to him. He's still got his hand on it, although the hand is not attached to the rest of his arm anymore. And the whole area of the alleyway is covered in blood. About halfway up the wall, to your left, are letters scribed on the wall in, you presume, these people's blood. And it reads, Debes mihi. Do you speak Latin?
Yes.
In which case, I won't even require you to make a roll. That says, you owe me.
Is it very simple or
no.
Anything to identify? It just literally says that.
It just says, you owe me, and that's it. Make me a spot hidden roll.
That you make.
Tick it if it's not ticked.
It already is.
That's your handwriting.
Oh. Well, shit.
I've lost six out and I have no recollection. Can I look a little closer at the body? Is there anyone around at all that I can hear moving at all? Listen, Jake, you did not pass that. From what you can hear, there's nobody nearby. You can hear sounds in the distance, like maybe church bells ringing and things like that, but nobody nearby you can hear. You're currently relatively clean.
Yeah, I've got blood on my hands or anything at all.
No, all of your fingernails are broken. Your clothes are a bit torn up. Actually, it does look like maybe your clothes aren't so much torn up as cut up. As if somebody went at you with a knife, maybe.
Yeah.
Particularly down the front. Where your jacket would come together, that's all been sliced up. The backs of your shoes are scuffed, but not the front.
Right.
But you're surprisingly clean.
Yeah. Can I take a closer look at the bodies and see if I can identify how long they've been dead for? I don't know what role that would be under.
It would medicine first, then first aid, then general education.
You may have 1% in medicine.
Well, you might make it.
So close. You got 0-2. Do you want to spend one luck and pass it?
Oh my god, yeah.
Fair enough.
Spend one luck. You don't get a tick, but you know.
Right, you take a look at the bodies. First things first, rigor mortis has not set in. Now, you remember Errol telling you about rigor mortis. Rigor mortis is the third stage of death, and it can occur as soon as 30 minutes post-mortem. However, it tends to occur slightly more slowly in the cold. But basically, no more than a couple of hours. The blood is still not frozen, although there's slight amounts of frosting around the edge. When you touch it, it's cold, but it's not freezing, although that does incidentally mean you get blue on your fingertips. And the bodies are still flexible, so they're neither frozen nor have they succumbed to rigor mortis.
It's only been a few hours then. Fantastic, on my best estimation.
By your best estimation, no longer than 2 hours.
Do they have anything about them at all to identify them or anything like that?
Black shirts? You can't really tell what one of them looked like. It seems like his head's been bashed against the wall repeatedly. The other one, he might have been one of Rossini's men. Sort of big and flabby like one of them, but again, he's been pretty badly slashed up. Are you actually moving the bodies about?
As little as possible, literally.
Okay. Make a look check.
That was hard.
You know how you've got a shaving kit?
Yeah.
As you're moving the bodies about, your razor falls out from like a hole in one of their coats.
What?
You don't even remember having that with you when you went out to the Palazzo.
No, I wouldn't have taken that with me. It would have been in my luggage.
Yep, but that's definitely your razor.
What is that doing there? Yeah, I'll definitely be picking that up.
Yes, it is very bloody.
I don't want to spend any more time around these bodies. I want to distance myself from this scene as much as possible. Am I noticeably bloody at all? Or do I
No. You're clean. You're just a bit torn up.
Looking a little worse for wear. Nothing that's going to be too suspicious.
The fact that your clothes are slashed up is going to be suspicious.
How is my undershirt if I was to take off my jacket?
Some of those slashes have gone through the undershirt as well. They're quite deep. They're cut like little crisscross lines on your chest.
Can I take my jacket off and then carry it like over my arm in front of me to try and hide the worst of it?
Yeah.
And then kind of make my way home stumbling, looking like a late night reveller.
Okay.
Making my hungover, slightly tipsy way.
Do you have a disguise?
Huh?
Disguise, do you have it?
Only at base, 5%.
Let me roll.
0-1.
You ticket. Ticket.
Hell yeah.
Ticket.
Ticking it.
Okay. You set off, and after a couple of minutes, you find, like, somebody's discarded bottle of wine or something, and you very quickly pour it all over yourself. And then you stagger along and make your staggering way. You're a little bit confused when you get to... Where do you get to? The big square outside of San Marco, because there's a whole load of, like, police standing around, this one area, and there's, like, a medical guy looking at a dead body there.
Is that where the big tower is?
No, it's where you originally broke into to try and steal the leg, but then found it wasn't there. Just down the road from your hotel.
Oh, okay, gosh, is it? Can I have a nose thing and see if I recognise it?
It would involve going a lot closer to the police. At the moment, they're not paying you any attention. They just think you're a drunk tourist. If you get any closer, they might start to notice that, like, your disguise is not as good as you think it is.
Yeah, maybe not. I think I'll just head to the hotel and I'll let everyone know that there's something going on.
Okay,
I need to change my suit.
Yeah, you head to the hotel. Unless you're going in, the night manager's there. It's towards the end of his shift. He goes, hello, Mr. Allstaff. Back again, I see.
Again? Again?
Yes, you came in very early in the morning saying that you needed to retrieve something.
I feel I've had a little too much this evening.
I do not think that is not the truth. You came in and you were, if I am honest, sir, you quite scared me with your manner. You were very wild and angry. Perhaps maybe a little less of the wine next time, yes?
I am ever so sorry if I distressed you at all. My good man, I think I may need to have a shower.
Yes. Possibly maybe a little check into a sanatorium, perhaps.
Yes, indeed.
I had a cousin, he checked himself into a sanatorium for the drink. It did him the world of good before he died.
My word.
Oh, no, you misunderstand. He died in the war. It has nothing to do with the drink.
Thank goodness for that, though.
But, yes, I would be very careful about running around in public like that in the future. Several of the chambermaids were very scared by you.
If I would endeavour to apologise if I encounter any of them.
Indeed,
indeed. What time did I come back here? I really don't recall.
Oh, it must have been maybe 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning maybe? 1:30, let's say. Let us, as you say, split the difference. You came in and you said, that damn fascist is going to get what is coming to him. And then you ranted at one of the chambermaids for a little while. Then you stormed upstairs and you came back downstairs. And you told me, you said, what was it you said? If I wanted to find a fascist, where would I look? And I said, Italy. And that didn't seem to meet with your approval. And then you stormed out.
Oh, well, it has been an incredibly long day and some even longer nights.
Yes.
I will not be drinking again, I think, for quite some time. I am ever so sorry. I can only apologise to you, my good man. I'm going to go and lay down.
Yes, probably for the best. Oh, the thing that you asked us to get is in your room.
Thank you ever so much.
That is absolutely no problem at all.
Well, I was not in character. I'm going to go upstairs.
Okay. Tiny Tim Bosley's looking concerned.
His room's also my room, ain't it?
Yeah, about half an hour ago, there was a knock at the door. And the concierge says, hello, I'm sorry to wake you so early, but Mr. Oldstaff required this to be present for him in the morning. And he hands you over like a square brown paper wrapped packet. It's about 6 inches wide, 12 inches long.
I'll sort of nod to the guy, shut the door, put the sofa back in front of the door where it was before he knocked on it and made me open the door.
Fair.
And then, see if there's a way of really subtly opening this so I can see inside.
It's tied up with string and also waxed.
Damn it. Oh no. Does it rattle if I shake it?
No, it goes bloop, 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 bloop. Sounds like liquid.
There's a box with liquid in it. Moustache might know what it is.
Okay, this is all happening before old staff gets back as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you go next door?
This is what you get for room sharing.
So you go next door and you knock on the door. The inspector sort of comes up to you. Someone's knocking on the door. I'm too tired.
Okay. Moustache will get his shotgun.
Paranoia, it rains.
Is there a spy hole in the door?
Yes, there is.
I look through the spy hole.
You can't see anything.
Who's there?
Not that tiny.
What is your size?
40.
You are that tiny. You are actually like, I think that's like 4'2".
Can't be that short. Otherwise people even shorter would be like dwarves.
Well yes, they would. Actually no, what's average at this time? 5'8" in 1920s. So he's probably like 5'2", 5'4". So he's pretty short.
Okay. Oh god. Who's that?
It's me.
Oh god, are you tiny?
Oh, it's Tim.
Oh god, how small's Clarissa?
Oh god. Oh, 40 as well.
Okay, so she's a 5-foot-tall woman.
Oh no, she's a woman, she'd be even shorter. She'd be like 4'10". Yeah, no. She's like fucking buff Barbara Windsor.
So, she's 4'10". She can't walk in a straight line. If a wind blows on her, she catches cold and dies. But if you want any sort of door torn off its hinges, you ask Clarissa. I continue with my assumption that she is some kind of mutant.
Oh.
But anyway, Tiny Tim's knocking on your fucking door.
Oh god. Oh, hold on a second, I'll put the shotgun away. I actually put my nightshirt on.
Put it in the bed.
Okay. That's a little strange. I'll open the door. What is it, Timothy? It's very early.
The box.
What? Why is there a box?
Apparently, Olaf wanted it in.
What? When? When did you decide that? When did he come back?
I don't know, that's what the hotel people told me.
What?
Just now, they went and knocked on my door and gave me this and told me Mr. Olaf wanted it when he got here.
It's a box.
It's not a box, it's a wrapped package with string wax.
It makes a gloopy noise.
I'm opening it.
Okay. You open it. Inside, there is a small letter. Enclosed in the small letter is something like 200 lira. The letter reads, Mr. Olmster, I was actually able to procure what you required for far cheaper than you gave me. I enclose your change. I am afraid it is in Italian money. I hope this meets with your approval. Signed, blah, 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 concierge. Hotel Greasy Palace. Please cross off from Professor Smith's stacko cash £20.
Okay.
Turns out old staff came back and got some money.
Oh. Okay. So there's letter and
a box. A wooden box. About 6 inches by 12 inches. It's about 2 inches deep. It's got a little brass clasp on the front.
Open the box.
Inside, there are 4 things. On the far right, there is a small silver crucifix. In the middle is a bottle filled with all what looks like olive oil. There's a small wafer. And then on the right, a piece of paper with Latin written on it. Do you understand Latin?
No, I do not. I can hazard a guess what the olive oil stuff is.
I can't.
I'm going to hazard a guess it's holy water. At least that's what Worf's actual guess it is.
More likely holy oil.
Okay, holy oil. But yeah, crucifix, wafer, holy oil, Latin thing, some kind of absolution.
Is this because the ledge vampire?
Am I hunting vampires?
Ledge vampire?
Yeah, there was like blood in my windowsill the other day.
It was probably a pigeon broke its neck on something, Timothy. Ledge vampires. What absolute rot.
You actually look out of the window. Because there is actually a dead pigeon. There has always been a dead fucking pigeon.
I looked out my window.
I called it time accident.
Sorry?
I looked out my window.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think you were looking out for certain things like I don't think you spotted the pigeon.
But you looked up. I think you looked up when you looked
up. Yeah.
As opposed to wherever the dead pigeon was.
But there has always been a dead pigeon.
Do you mean there were no ledge vampires?
There were no ledge vampires.
All these fucking years. All it was a dead years, fucking pigeon. It was a dead pigeon.
It was always a dead pigeon. You wasted the entirety of Venice looking for that fucking ledge vampire.
But anyway,
not this time.
No, the last time.
But yeah, it's got the inside of the box has got a Basilica San Marco sort of picture on it.
And they got this at God knows when in the morning. That's
well, he delivered it half an hour ago, which is about 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, which is when the early prayer.
Did I notice old stuff coming in the night?
No.
Because I sleep on the sofa, which is against the door.
Yep. Were not back by then.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Because he left way earlier than you are.
This is true.
Alright.
Let's be. Because
if he's come through that, I'd be confused.
And worried.
Yeah. He's the vampire.
Yes.
That doesn't exist.
I believe, actually, I mean Vespers, which is the earliest one.
Okay. The Catholic Church. Oh, well. Never does sleep.
No, Louds, sorry. Which is actually about 3 a.m.
Loud? That early in the morning? Inconsiderate.
But it could have been Loud, or it could have been Prime. Either way. There is a Catholic, there's a traditional Roman breviary at that sort of time.
Catholicism. Anyway, moving swiftly on from that sacrilege.
Vespers is evening.
Okay. Well, that's strange. So he came back. I thought he was sleeping on the sofa against the door.
What?
Well, how did he come, unless he came back before we did?
I've not seen him.
Okay, well look, anyway, I don't even know what's going on, but give that to him when he comes in then, I guess, and tell him I'm sorry I opened it, but we're very curious. Oh, and give him his change. Don't keep the change, I will ask him.
Alright.
Good. I'm going back to bed.
Alright. Did I notice whether he counted the change?
Spot hidden. First off, did he count the change?
Well, you said I noticed it was about 200, so I wouldn't have been specific, but, you know.
No.
He only looked at it briefly.
Alright. I'll sort of take a little bit off, but I'll give most of it.
So it's almost 200.
Exactly, just in case.
So before it was about 200, now it's almost 200. It's probably not going to get most of it.
Exactly.
Never.
Into party.
Sign it in boxy, of course it is. But anyway, yeah. By this time, are you heading back to your room?
Yeah.
You're heading back to your room as old staff comes round the corner of the corridor. He looks rough as fuck. His clothes are all ripped off, and he's covered in wine. Old staff, you can see Tiny Tim Boxley. He's holding a wooden box.
Hello.
I got your box.
I didn't catch that, sorry.
I got your box.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't remember ordering it, but thank you. May I have it, please?
Do you give him the box?
Yeah.
He hands you a small wooden box. When you open it, it contains what looks to be holy oil, a communion wafer, a small crucifix, and what you reckon, judging by your Latin knowledge, is some kind of religious rite of exorcism.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what I asked for. I'm going to shower. I put the box down and I'm going to refresh myself because I am fucked.
Okay, you go and have a shower.
I'll just put the letter and the change on top of the box.
Fair enough.
Back. And look out the window.
What have I been up to?
You have no idea.
No.
So what do you do?
I I'm going to look out the window and wait for him to come back.
Fair enough. You take about a half an hour shower and then come back to the room. As you might imagine, Tiny Tim Boxley is just sitting there waiting for you.
Failing to spot any ledge vampires.
Yes, that's the right thing.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
So
I am trying to work out, sorry, out of character, a finger in the air, how much I'm going to share it with you all.
You got a letter as well.
I did?
So I've pointed the letter I've left on the box.
Oh, well, I'll go and open that then.
It basically says, here's your change. I got it cheaper than you expected. Hope this is all right.
Is there any sign of me, like, coming back and going through my own stuff?
Yes. Your suitcase has been roundly ransacked. Picture of your family, by the way?
Yes.
The picture of your family is torn.
Oh.
Between your wife and your son.
Well, he is possibly a cultist. Yeah. Right, one of the nasty ones, though, you know. I always thought he was a bit of a phase. I'm guessing my shaving kit is down a razor.
Good plan. The razor is very bloody.
I would have rinsed it off in the shower.
Okay.
I should probably put that back. Have I left any like books open? Did it look like I was researching anything at all?
No.
I've just gone with it.
You've just come in, turned your suitcase upside down, grabbed your straight razor, ripped the picture of your family, and seemingly ordered some holy water.
Okay.
Well, oil, actually.
Am I smart enough to work out that this is probably some kind of hunting the cultist, the hunting the vampire type.
No. You're fairly certain that this is the stuff you need to perform an exorcism.
It is, right.
Although you know nothing about exorcisms.
No. Okay, I'm just going to pack everything away.
Okay.
And, like, get dressed into my spare suit. Although, probably don't have more than two suits, so I may have to go shopping. Because this one is ruined, so...
Yeah.
How rested do I feel? Do I feel tired at all?
Pretty much everybody feels tired. Because you were all up till about 2, getting back from the Campo de Rizian army. And, you've all been woken up about 6. Actually, no. Clarissa, you're still asleep.
Yay!
Oh, Tim! Tim!
What?
Tim, I kind of snap out of his days that I've been kind of pottering about and very confused. But Tim, is everyone okay? We were being attacked by those horrible contraptions. Did we get the leg? Is everyone okay?
Yeah, it's alright. We got it. It's in a box. Not a box. It's in the case with brothers. I've been watching them.
And nobody got chopped in half by those awful puppets.
No, it's alright.
Oh, well,
they went a bit
thank
like...
You, thank you ever so much for trying to stop the devilish contraption from... Oh, a horrible nightmare.
What happened? It wasn't a nightmare.
That doesn't make you feel better, old stuff.
No. No, everything has been a very unpleasant string of events. I think I need to rest for a bit, but I'm just going to go and lay down. If you wouldn't mind, Tim, are you up now? Would you mind rousing me when everyone else is going to breakfast?
All right.
I pass out. I'm going to go and lay down. I need to stop and think. And by think, I mean not think again at all for a while.
I've been given a job to do. I'm going to be sitting by the door, trying to sort of look out the spy hole, listen out. Try and work out when everyone's going to breakfast.
When everyone else is going to breakfast, or when everybody from your party is going to breakfast?
Either, both.
Clarissa, make me a constitution check. Or rather, tell me by how much you fail your constitution check.
Ooh, lots.
How many tens worth of lots?
Seven?
Okay then. When would you have been intending to get up?
Well, the original plan was to get the train this morning.
At 5:30 this afternoon.
Oh, this afternoon. Yeah. I thought it was the morning.
No.
Train from
Venice is at 17:30.
Oh, right, okay. So I thought it was morning.
Yeah, no. 5:30 this afternoon.
Okay, I would have been intending to get up late for breakfast because I'm not used to gallivanting around in the middle of the night.
So you would have been intending maybe 10 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock, half 9?
Yeah, probably half 9 just to catch the end of breakfast.
Okay, well you wake up at lunchtime.
Okay.
Nobody else has gotten up and gotten moving about. So, that's when you wake up.
How do I feel when I wake up?
Well rested.
Oh, good.
Really well rested.
I was
about maybe 12 hours sleep.
This is good. Although, I look out the window because we are still kind of probably being sought after by, you know, the fascists.
Hmm. So what's the plan?
Is there anything going on out in the street?
You look out the window, there's quite a big crowd in the big campo outside the cathedral.
Right, okay.
It seems like there's something of interest happening over there.
Am I able to open the window and, like, peer out?
Yes, yes, you can open the window and peer out.
Oh,
you open the window and peer out. You can't really see anything more. You think there's like a ribbon surrounded area and maybe a load of police.
Right. I shall leave Izzy to sleep. She obviously needs lots of sleep.
Yes, yes. She sleeps.
But I shall go and knock up the other two rooms.
Okay. There are knocks upon both sets of doors. I assume you all wake up.
Oh, they've opened the door before it's knocked on.
Oh? How come? Oh, because you were looking.
Because she's looking.
Yeah, you probably would have.
To be fair, he's probably got bored by this point and done something else, but he'll keep an eye out anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, you open the door.
Oh, hello. That was quick. You've been, like, watching?
Yeah.
Okay. It's lunchtime. What happened?
You getting breakfast now?
No, I think we missed breakfast.
Fuck it, I'm going to wake him up anyway.
Okay.
Who?
Old staff, somebody's woken you up.
Old staff is back?
Yeah, he got back at like 6 o'clock.
Oh, right. Was it back for breakfast?
You feel a lot better now.
Might be a bit late for that, apparently.
I gave you one job, Tim.
They didn't go to breakfast, did they? This is like the first person I've seen since you went to sleep.
God, everyone having a late start for the day, then.
Yeah. Well,
I think we should
it's lunchtime.
In the company and go for a late breakfast, early lunch.
Okay.
I feel croissants coming on.
I am not going to roleplay you lot going down and eating fucking lunch. You eat lunch. There's some sort of kerfuffle going on though. The,
Oh yes, there was a crowd of people this morning. Out in the, place.
There's something going on in the square outside? Just down the road?
Well, it turns out that you can easily find out what's going on because the waitresses, although a couple of the waitresses won't go anywhere near your table, which is weird, one of the waitresses comes over and goes, oh yes, don't you know? A mob of people killed someone who was possessed by the devil last night.
Really?
Yes, they were lying on the ground and shuddering and shaking and frothing at the mouth. And a number of people took it on themselves to stone them with cobblestones and killed them. And there was a great howling as if a wolf was stalking around the streets. And according to the newspaper, somebody started murdering fascists in the streets. Two fascists were found cut up in an alleyway. They reckon it was the communists, you know.
Oh, yes, sounds most likely.
Mm.
Well.
They lapsed into silence while they digest this information and their lunch, which is also their breakfast.
Yay! It's like being a student again.
Yes, but with more death and mayhem. Mm.
Yes.
What were your student days like?
Self-pity and alcohol, mostly.
Mine didn't consist of quite so many dead fascists.
Pity.
So what are you all doing?
Having lunch.
Right, well, I guess that part.
Well, the train is at... The train is at 5:30.
Okay, what
time? It's now lunchtime.
Right, so about 12.
What time is... Okay, lunch is...
So, well, that's the only one I have lunch. Okay, so we've got 5.5 hours to kill without getting caught by fascists.
Yes.
You're in the lunchroom. Why don't you make a listen check?
That was about character, I swear.
You're alright this time.
Okay, sorry. I'm more careful.
I was.
We've got 5.5 hours to kill.
To kill the train. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we should go to the train station much, much earlier than that, says the inspector.
I think that's a good plan.
What's a good plan?
What you just said. Go to the train station well before 5:30. It's a public place. Yeah. There'll be waiting rooms. We can leave the luggage somewhere.
Really?
We don't want to be leaving, like...
Oh, true. Actually, yes. Well, we can do the luggage with us. It's a train station. You know, the waiting rooms. We can get some tea, I'm sure.
Probably.
Cake.
Actually, I managed to get quite nice tea when I was in Italy.
Well, it's not America, so...
It may be for the best to vacate the hotel. I mean, we have pissed off rather a lot of people while we've been here. Maybe...
We?
Have we?
Well, anyway.
What? I think so. We've broken into a house, liberated the young lady, helped with all the...
God, these waitresses are dead.
Public place. Old staff, public place.
Yes.
So let me get this straight. First, Wolfstats goes, oh, well, we did beat up some fascists. They go, oh, I'd better be quiet about that. So Old Steph lists off all of your crimes. Like, all of your crimes. In order, practically.
And a rough night.
Anyway, so... Yes. If we head to the train station, we can wait there. It's a nice public place.
Alright.
Okay.
Is there anything else we need to do before we go?
Apart
from avoid the fascists?
Getting our stuff upstairs, I would like a moment of wash down time that I will be speaking back once we're up.
Okay. So you all head off to pack, and then Old Staff comes and knocks you up in your room.
Oh my,
As the inspector hears him knocking on the door, he goes, I think I'm going to go and do something else entirely. This is complicated, I suspect.
Probably.
I'm going to leave.
Okay. Right.
He heads into the bathroom.
Okay. So, yes, open the door for him.
Mr. Water, may I trouble you for just a moment of your time?
Sure. What's the problem?
Can I kind of like shuffle into the room and close the door and like trying to look casual but blatantly, magnificently?
Okay.
I said you have an interest. I mean, your profession is as a magician, and you have I guess studied some of it. Have I told you about my son Errol?
I'm not sure what you're implying here, Mr. Elstar. I know there are certain rumours about the theatrical professions, but I just want to assure you that not everyone involved in theatre is that way inclined.
Well, I didn't want to accuse you of being some kind of fiendish cultist, but I'm very worried that the penny does not drop for all.
Should you get with fiendish cult? I'm not a Freemason! Probably why I'm more successful, actually. If I had been a Freemason, maybe I would have gotten some better contracts. But,
my son has been very involved and interested in all this, occult, and we just thought it was a harmless hobby. You know, we didn't encourage it, but, you know, we didn't thought it was doing it. But I'm very concerned, and in my panic last night, I believe I sent someone off to gather some certain items. I'm really very concerned about him.
Cultist! Right, sorry, got really the wrong end of the stick there. Also, we get
another end of the stick.
But I thought you were implying your son was some form of homosexual. I mean, and I know that's illegal, but I have my sympathies, you know, but it was obviously still illegal, but anyway, we're not discussing that, we're discussing cults, which I'm pretty sure, I don't think they're illegal, unless they do horrible things, like the ones we're fighting. The box. So I kind of opened the box.
You opened my box?
Well, to be fair, you had gone missing while running off screaming, from animatronics that were trying to murder us.
is not going as I thought it would.
I don't think any conversation is supposed to go like this. But here we are, sir. Well, look, we weren't sure what had happened, so yes, I opened the box. You know, weren't entirely sure. We thought it might give us a clue as to where you'd gone if we had to find you. As it turned out, it was, you know, Catholic equipment.
Yes, I think in my panic, I've ordered this because I really am quite concerned about my son. I think I'm just going to give it as a souvenir to take home with me if we survive.
So, your plan, if I'm following straight, is you think your son is a cultist, so you're going to take home some holy oil, a wafer, a crucifix, and some form of, I'm guessing, scriptural writing, and that will stop him being a cultist because you show it to him?
That sounds batshit crazy, shouts the inspector from the bathroom.
Hush, you.
I know it sounds strange, but there is no need to tell me to hush.
I wasn't talking to you, dear boy. Don't worry. Well, look.
What?
Well, anyway, look. I'm sure your son is just... Well, look, you know how young people are. He probably heard about that Crowley fellow. It's just like, oh, he's very exciting and roguish and... Well, you know how it is. I mean, in my younger days, I thought Oscar Wilde was all the rage. Obviously wasn't suitable. But, you know, everyone has these when they're younger, you know. They think of these things and they're so roguing and actually dangerous. And then when you grow up and you realise, oh, it's all just rot. So don't worry about it. I'm sure these are nice keepsakes. They'll be nice to put on the mantle. You know, show the good lady wife.
Is this in any way convincing me that my son is not possessed by some kind of
No. Good God, no. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. You're starting to have concerns.
Just washed up one too? Is that why he's getting so defensive?
You don't know. Maybe you ought to watch him more carefully, though.
I mean, he has been acting very strangely for quite some time now. I mean, really, I think I'll just keep this box in a safe place, probably about my person.
Fair enough!
There's a lot of odds going wrong, really. This is not good at all. But thank you ever so much, Waterfell. That was very convincing. Goodbye.
That was very convincing. Bye.
Goodbye until we leave the hotel.
In about half an hour.
What an eccentric performance.
It doesn't take you very long to pack because you've kind of got used to having to leave places in a hurry. This being the third place you have left in a hurry, after people of authority have told you not to leave in a hurry.
Or at all.
Or indeed, at all. But yeah, you pack up and you head off to the train station.
Does this take us via the square?
Yes. There's a lot of police standing around, well, not a dead body anymore, but certainly a large pile of cobblestones that seem to have been ripped up from around the square, that they're busy dusting for fingerprints. And a huge, absolutely massive crowd of basically rubberneckers.
Rubber what?
Rubberneckers. People who've come along just to look at where the murder was.
You said rubberneckers.
Yes, a whole host of rubberneckers who are all wearing rubberneckers have descended from the sky like avenging angels. Or conversely, rubberneckers, people who are looking at the place where someone got killed.
Are they eating double-deckers?
The rubberneckers are indeed not eating double-deckers. Double-deckers have not yet been invented.
Done.
I want to go peer at the place where someone got killed on the way past.
No, Timothy!
You have a good old rubberneck. It looks like a pile of cobblestones, some of which are badly splashed with blood.
Okay.
There's a priest in the crowd, and you spot this, Clarissa, and he's basically giving a sermon on how it was right and proper that those people did that to that person.
Is it because, the creepy verger?
No. It's a tall, thin sort of priest. Speaking in a vaguely German accent. And he's basically going on about, oh yes, when people are possessed by the devil, you should destroy them. Destroy them with all of your might.
I'm not nodding vaguely without realising.
Yeah, yeah. The sermon touches you deep inside. In a bad way. You make your way to the Venice station. It's quite pleasant. It's a lot nicer than the Milan one. However, spending 4 hours there, it turns out it's not as comfy as you might have wished. In fact, it's decidedly not comfy after 4 fucking hours.
I'm having a nap.
Okay, you can have a nap.
I said awake while I was waiting for him to get up for breakfast. I'm having a nap.
That's fair. Eventually, however, the Orient Express appears. Now, I've got to work out where you're supposed to be going next. Bear with me. You are supposed to go to...
Trieste is next.
I believe you are correct. However, the book confuses me because it assumes you read The Devil's Simular.
Well, I thought we were going to do that.
Well, yes. You get onto the train. And you get settled into your sleeping quarters.
But it's only 2.5 hours, roughly.
It's not.
Oh.
Heavy snowfall has occurred in the mountains, so they're actually going to be running far slower.
Okay.
They apologise profusely. The steward comes and explains, I'm very, very sorry. But there has been heavy snowfall on the line. Now, we can probably push through. Locomotive is very powerful, and we have attached a snowplow to the front. But the engineer does tell me that we shouldn't try to push through any faster than at most 10 miles an hour. Now, unfortunately, this does add a considerable amount of time to our trip, so you will get there probably tomorrow morning. But as always, we've set up your sleeping carriages, so you'll be able to sleep there. Where are you putting the giant chest with the Sedactos in your arcum?
Can we put that in with one of our rooms?
You can, but it's a giant chest.
Is there any way to be posting this stuff back home, or do we really want to carry it around with us?
The issue there is, in theory, yes, you could indeed post it back home. However, the post is not at this time particularly secure.
Also, we kind of need all of it in Constantinople to destroy it.
Hey, okay.
Where are you putting the crate? It is massive, remember. It's like, I think it was like 4 foot by 3 by 3. It's huge. It's a massive crate. So it had to fit all the bits.
Would it go under one of the beds?
No.
Would it go in one of the bunks?
Yes, but that means one of you's not sleeping in a bunk.
Well, no, because there's... Have we got...
Ah, no, there's not the six. It's you two, Izzy and Ulster, him and the inspector.
Hmm. Six.
Could we just, like, shove it in the bathroom if we've got a bathroom between, like, two of the rooms?
Yeah, it just means that to use the bathroom you have to clamber over the evil statue. But that's fine.
I can do that.
Okay. You're finding that, like, you must have banged your knee this morning. Really hurt.
Oh, suck.
Make me a constitution check, Mr. Wharfstache.
Passed.
Okay. You've got a bit of a cold coming on. It's a bit chesty.
Oh dear, better get some menthol from somewhere.
Some cigarettes will sort that right out.
No, that's not proper smoking. Menthol. My goodness.
Maybe get a pipe.
Yes.
So anyway, you get onto the train. The little old lady and the lady from the northeast is there again. Now, come on, Auntie Betty. We've got to go and get to the saloon. Oh, well, I don't know how that door opens, dear. It just seemed to come open in my hand. Well, we can't be having it with that. She drags her off to the saloon.
Can you keep my hand over my wallet?
Fair enough. Tiny Tim Boxley.
Yeah?
Do you have anything resembling, like, streetwise or something like
that? I don't actually think there's anything like that on the sheet.
Then you don't. Fair enough.
I don't think that's a thing that exists.
It won't be a set skill. It might be one you picked up from character gen.
It's fine. It would make sense to have it if it existed, but it's not a thing. So.
That's fine. So. What are you doing?
I think you're starting to pass the time.
Yeah, the train is set off, but it's the mountain snow does definitely seem to have slowed it down. You can see it's throwing off huge sheets of snow to either side of the either side of the train. As you push along through it. But it is slow going. It's definitely going to be here till tomorrow.
Can I get one of them drinks again?
Yes. What drink was it you had before?
They gave me some, like, bubbly stuff that tasted rubbish. I don't want
champagne.
That. I want something else. Something better.
Okay. Well, they run you through the list, as it were. What do you want?
What sounds fanciest? that isn't that.
Well, they offer you something that's called a sidecar, which sounds pretty powerful. They also offer you tea with ice in from America.
That's just wrong.
What?
Tea with ice in?
What? Yeah.
I'm
from near New York, in fact.
Nah, it's a sidecar. Sounds okay. Way better.
Okay. A sidecar, it turns out, is incredibly sharp. It seems to be mostly made of lemon juice.
Really?
And oranges.
Alright.
And brandy. Lots and lots of brandy.
This is way better than champagne.
Fair enough. How many of them do you drink?
Couple.
How many constitution check? Because I know for a fact that sidecars are very strong, so I drink them at last.
I've never had one, they sound quite exciting.
Contra lemon juice and brandy in equal measure. You get a bit tipsy, but not rat-assed.
Alright.
Oh, this is nice.
I want to try one too.
I swap out the lemon juice for a bit of lemon, which is what the Water of Life used to be.
Water of Life?
Yeah. That is a thing from our LARP days.
It's amazing.
Water of Life is being gorgeous.
And then you brought it to my house party and I got very drunk.
Yes. I took it to Fury's house party and we all got very drunk indeed.
Happy days.
Because he brought me a bowl the size of a planet to make it in.
I just gave you a joke.
Not need to press Android's pink.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, you drink a few of them, you get a bit tipsy. What are the rest of you doing?
Well, didn't we get this book?
Yeah, you can start reading the book.
Yes.
Let's see. Reading the book. Who is reading the book?
What language are they saying?
The book. I'll tell you in a second. Find the chapter. The book is... Oh, for fuck's sake. Why do they not put this on the front?
They went to the White Wolf School of organising your book.
It's in Latin.
Ah, so in that case it's not going to be me.
It's an illuminated manuscript written in Latin by an anonymous Cistercian monk, probably around 1260, and based on earlier material by monks who were in Constantinople following 1204. The material was taken to Venice when the Venetian Crusaders departed there. It was bound into a single volume in 1505, by an Italian craftsman, whose binding imprint and date are still in the flyleaf. The volume tells a continuous narrative concerning the Fourth Crusade and sack of Constantinople, with digressions stressing moral and theological lessons. Beautiful illuminations accompany the work, including medieval depictions of curved scimitars with a serpent's head and pommel, a suit of armour which seems to have two faces, one looking forward and one looking back.
Well, I can't read Latin.
Who can read Latin, is the first question. Old stuff, do you really want to be the one to read yet another evil book?
Well,
I might as well add it to my collection.
I've got 35 in Latin.
Do you want to read old stuff?
Do I think it will educate me on the unusual cultist types?
You're fairly certain it will probably explain about the Sedefkar Simulacrum, so either of you could read it. It's more a case of who's wanting to read it. Carissa or Oldstaff?
I'll
think terrible
when I read the last one.
Clarissa? So you just sort of push it in Oldstaff's direction and wait.
There you go.
Fair enough. Oldstaff, you settle down and start reading the book. Now, bear with me, I've got to actually look up how long the Devil's Simulacrum takes to read. I believe it's going to take you about 12 hours to read the Devil's Simulacrum. So you won't really be able to read it before you get to Trieste. But if you read it tonight and then read it in the evenings when you're in Trieste, you'll be able to get it finished.
Okay, as I'm reading it, as long as you're not... As long as no one else is around other than our group, I will give a general gist of what I'm reading to everyone.
Okay.
So, because I have to translate it as I go anyway.
Yeah.
So as I'm translating, I'll kind of summarise as I go along so that everyone's kind of kept in the loop this time.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. What's in there? Okay. Yep, you can, well, you can sit in your rooms and read it out to them if you like. Although bear in mind that if you're reading it out to them, they're also going to both gain Cthulhu Mythos and also potentially take, sanity loss.
Well,
problem
shared is a problem bubble.
Yes, yes, exactly. So anyway, you start reading. You read for about 2-3 hours before, given the last few days, you all feel absolutely knackered. You're like, you're almost dead on your feet. You can't concentrate on translating the Latin anymore. Everybody else is nodding off, and Tiny Tim Parksley is giggling to himself in a corner because he's been drinking so many sidecars. So what? Are you all going to bed?
Yep.
Okay. You head off to bed, and the beds on the Orient Express are phenomenally comfy. Every time you sleep on the Orient Express, you feel wonderfully refreshed in the morning. You all sink slowly to sleep, sink slowly to sleep, and you awaken. And you're standing on a sort of stone platform. There's a sign next to you. I will tell you what the sign reads. There's a sign next to you that reads Athelrat. Sort of like lovely scroll work. And you hear in the distance thud 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 as this huge caterpillar-like thing comes out of the mists and stomps along until it stops next to the platform. A ladder comes down, and clad in black leathers with one of those Venetian masks on, steps forward a by now relatively familiar character. Bonjour, Elysier! Please come and join me up on the train. We have been waiting for you. Your friend is already here. Waves you on board. As you're getting on board the Dreamlands Express, you can see, got his damn name. Thomas something? Whose name I've forgotten. It was Edgar Wellington, in fact. You see Edgar Wellington waving out of the window.
Hello.
Please, I have set your rooms out exactly as they were before. Dinner will be, well, whenever you want. This is the Dreamlands Express. Have any of you given any thoughts to what you would like to customer ends at the end of the trip? For I think it would very much help you with your work in the real world, as it were.
What's my name?
Tiny Tim Boxley isn't with you.
Oh, no.
So anyway, have you considered something that you wish to throw into the Gulf of No Ends?
Hard to say.
Well, I would advise you to think on it very carefully.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes, definitely. It's just, I should definitely give it some thought.
Yes. I'm afraid to say that, well, the Sarnathians are still with us.
Yeah.
Yes, well, and also the beings of Ebastilia. But hopefully we will be not too badly off. I only have to scrape them off doors every other hour. So, I guess we will be making our way on.
That would seem.
So, please, come on.
Board the train?
He leads you onto the train, and there seems to be no sign of Mirren and Mira, who has gone. And the train begins to stomp its way along through the countryside. Would you care to come to dinner? We have a fine banquet this evening.
Oh, yes. Dinner is always a pleasure.
The second banquet menu. Chestnut soup. Roast magabirds dressed in their plumage.
Okay, that's unusual.
Heels of camels from the Benaziac Desert. Including one dromedary whose roast flesh tastes pleasantly of garlic. Ooh. Fish from Lake Mnar. Each of a vast size, served upon silver platters. Fruits, nuts and spices from Siddharthian groves. Sauces prepared by the subtlest cooks, suited to the palate of every feaster. Drinks menus, pearls from the wave-washed metal dissolved in the vinegar of thrace.
That sounds lovely.
And the wines of Sarup, Implant, the Carthian Hills, Mount Aran, and Zug Moontree Wine. Mm. The feast starts on a somber note with the onboard murder of Blackjack the kitten. However, Zusa is interested in lightening the mood. I promised you all a dance, and so I will perform. This is the dance that I have danced for kings and emperors of the land of dreams. Music starts, and she begins dancing. And she is exceedingly skilled. Although you're a little confused because there seems to be no one who's actually producing the music. Mm. It's just coming out of the air around you. The dance is graceful and sad. Could you all make me psychology checks?
Wolf Snatch passes.
Okay.
Old Staff passes. Impressive, okay. So he only has a psychology of 10.
Remember, if you tick stuff in the Dreamlands, tick it and circle it. Because you'll get to roll them after you come back out.
I have it.
Oh. She is dancing not only for the loss of Blackjack the kitten, but also for something else that she has lost personally. And this comes through in her dancing. The Sanethians are sort of, yes, very good, very good. In their sort of, you can never tell if they're actually being condescending or they're just like that. There's no being in it here, because obviously they stay downstairs. The Sarnathians wander over to your table after the dinner. Very impressed with your work regarding the murder of the kitten.
Yeah.
You did very well to find out it was that strange creature. I don't make any note of the fact that that strange creature completely took them in and very nearly convinced them to buy wines from it. Right, I wonder if you might consider helping us with a little problem that we have. A little problem in the form of those horrific things made out of mud. So, could we at least let you know our issues? Our version of what occurred? If it's in here anywhere. It isn't in here anywhere, where is it? One second. Yes. So, basically, we are looking for your help in proving our point to King Karanis. He's most likely to listen to you people as you are also from the real world like he is. Whereas we are all Dreamland's natives. As you could no doubt tell, we are very pretty. Anyway, are you interested in letting us request your aid?
Well, I suppose we can at least hear your version of events.
Yes. Well, 1,000 years ago, the cities of Sarnath and Ib were neighbours on the shoals of the Lake Mnar. The greystone city of Ib descended all in one night from the moon to arrive on the lake shore with its disgusting inhabitants, and they worshipped a water green statue, this Bokrug, the great water lizard. You've seen them. They're loathsome, flabby, and all made of jelly, and they can't speak except through that squeaking thing whose voice is, it's like being attacked in the ears with an untuned violin. Records from the time labelled them as primitive things, an unnatural survival into the modern world, as you might say. Men of Sarna surveyed them and saw them to be disgusting. They should not exist, and even now they should not exist, and then they had just descended from the sky without Earth, by your leave. So they were done away with. They were too nauseous to allow a close range. I mean, you've seen them, you've touched them. They're disgusting. So we just drove them away into the river with them, into the lake with them. After that, peace reigned in Sarlacc, and we became rich, trading precious metals that we mined. We kept their statue, though, and every year on the king's birthday, the king and the high priest of the city richly desecrated. Recently, which is about 1,000 years after this, delegations of beings of Ib started turning up. They seem to claim that we've done terrible things to them, but it's not really the case. I mean, it's so long ago, hardly anyone would care or matter. Claiming reparations from us now is an act of vandalism, almost.
I see.
I think it would, they're asking far too much.
What are they actually asking?
Well, I don't know.
Is there anyone here who does know what they're asking for?
Well, they've sort of made sounds about money and this, that and the other thing. But, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know why we should give them anything. Maybe you could speak with them. I don't want to get too close to the world.
Well, you can certainly talk to them and hear their side of things.
Well, maybe if you deal with that for us, maybe we'll see to it that you have things, or I don't know, maybe we'll grace you with our presence more often.
I see.
He proceeds to look snug at you all. As South Africans are wont to do.
It's like their default expression, basically.
Yeah, smug and arsehole-y.
And demonstrating remarkable self-restraint by not saying anything.
That seems fair.
All.
Yes.
There are so many replies to that.
Yes. Well, we'll certainly have a word with them and see what develops.
Good, good. As long as we don't have to talk to them, he returns to his dinner.
I am sorry, but...
Old staff.
I do not see a single reason why we should help those horrible...
Let's just talk.
Racers move their presence. Surely that's incentive to not do them any favours ever again if it means they stay as far away from us as possible.
Old staff, let's be polite. I know it's difficult, but let's try. We'll talk to the beings of Ib and see what they have to say.
Okay. Well, you finish the dinner. It is, as you might imagine, absolutely wondrous. You are in the Dreamlands. After dinner, Henry comes up. Hello, is there anything more that you would need? I can get you any food that you wish. I can dream up any food that you wish. I am very pleased that you have helped us with the cats. They are much happier now. Well, I say happier, they are much less annoyed now.
Well, given the circumstances, I think being happy would be tricky.
Mirinimir himself is now much better than the
wizard?
Yes, it is faded from him now.
Good, good, good.
I think perhaps he will be better off now, which is good.
Hmm.
Even Madame Bruyère is less, you know.
Herself?
That is the word I was going to look for, yes. She has been almost pleasant.
My goodness.
I say almost. She has not entirely been pleasant, but you know, it is still a bonus.
Hmm. Oh, what about the gentleman, the poet?
Well, he is over there, as you can see, he's still with the Russian man, who is very twitchy indeed.
Oh, yes, yes. Karkarov.
Karkarov is indeed still sort of grunting round himself on occasions. Like he's hailing a noise that nobody else can hear.
Yes.
Did I hear correctly you're intending to go and speak with the beings of Ib?
Well, the Sarnathians seem to decide we should be the ones to talk to them.
Well, I would agree that you are more likely to be, you know, helpful on this subject.
Hmm.
But I don't know why the Sarnathians have asked you for help. It has become rather obvious to me that you and the Sarnathians do not get on. It's, to be perfectly honest, very many people don't get on with the Sarnathians. They are a little bit arrogant.
Not very many at all.
Well, they seem to think we desire their presence. Goodness knows why.
I don't know where they got that impression from.
Well, if I am honest, quite a lot of people within the Dreamlands, they have a sort of unnatural confidence in the people from the living world because they believe you know more than they do.
I see.
I do not understand it myself, if they have a choice between a negotiator from the Dreamlands and a negotiator from the living world, they tend to go to the living world. Possibly it is because King Karanis is so powerful.
Hmm.
Did you know he was an opium addict in France?
No, I did not.
Hmm? I believe he may actually have passed away. Well, in real world. Not in this world. He is still very much in power in this world. His kingdom is very powerful indeed.
Hmm.
Hopefully you will be able to meet him.
That would certainly be interesting.
Hmm. As I said before, if you need any help deciding what to throw into Noden's gulf, then feel free to ask me. Do you wish me to provide you with access to the beings of Ib's compartment?
Possibly not while we're digesting.
Tomorrow morning, perhaps?
I think tomorrow morning would be wise.
Excellent. In which case, I will let you go.
Thank you, Henri.
Is there anything you want to do in the evening before you go to sleep in your sleep?
Yo, dog.
I heard you like sleep. So I put sleep in your sleep so you can sleep while you sleep.
Indeed. I can't think of anything.
Huh? Okay.
Anyone? No?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Does the demon statue come with us when we fall asleep into the Dreamlands?
Sorry?
Does the demon statue come with
us? Does it bugger it?
Oh my god.
Strangely enough, the Sedefkar Simulacrum does not come with you into the Dreamlands.
Hooray!
You are momentarily free of it.
Hooray.
Incidentally, that means your chest feels okay, and your arm doesn't hurt.
I don't have a cold.
Yeah. So anyway, you go to sleep. It is lovely, and comfortable, and wondrous. And you wake up in the morning, fully refreshed. Which is weird, because you don't actually wake up, because you're still in the Dreamland.
Very, very, very bizarre.
Henri has left a little scroll that basically says, if you wish to visit the beings of it, present this scroll to the train, and it will open a passageway for you.
Well, do that then.
Very nice. You head down towards the beings of it, who, as I remind you, are fucking disgusting. They are squishy little oily jelly things that stink horrifically and can only speak through the one fluffy ball of the squeaker. As you walk down the sort of flesh corridor to their area, you realise that you've been in the presence of one being of it before, but never a whole room before. And you start feeling your skin crawling as you approach.
How many are there?
Six. As you reach the bottom, one of them holds up the squeaker and it goes,
"Hello! What are you doing here?"
Well, we've been asked to sort of mediate on this whole issue involving yourselves and the Sarnathians.
Ah, yes! We will gladly accept your help!
And that, Your Honour, is where we're going to finish for the evening. Thankfully you've enjoyed this rather weird session of Horror on the Orient Express. Hopefully next week we shall be able to continue the Dreamlands Express Leg 2. Thank you very much for listening. If you wish to talk at us, you can talk at me at Mordigan, you can talk at him at Bloody Pucked, you can talk at Archive at T Gremlin. You can send us emails at thecultoftandice@gmail.com. You can talk to us at thecultoftandice.net. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Bye!
Bye!
Bye.